What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, man, I appreciate that, man. Like, honestly, you know, they didn't have to do that publicly just for guys doing that. It just made me want to go harder for them. And I think that just kind of shows the unity and the bond and the family type atmosphere that we have here. Because we say it's a family, but a lot of times when things start going bad, you get tested. Guys start turning their back on each other. And we never did that. So that's what honestly gave me the confidence that we would be able to get this thing going in the right direction, is because we did stick together and we did have each other's back. But those guys doing that, I can't thank them enough, man, because I'm human too. So, you know, hearing that, I need a boost as well at times. And that definitely gave me a boost.
The Baltimore Ravens defense has been arguably the best in football since week 11, but they were really bad before that. And that was a very candid and sincere sounding Zach Orr talking about the players on this team having his back when things were at their worst.
You know, it's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm not trying to hit the fast forward button on this season by any stretch of the imagination. And there should be plenty of football still to come. But, I mean, you could start to argue, like, Zach Orr's first year in some ways was maybe even better than McDonald's, because they didn't go out and get him a $20 million linebacker in the middle of the year to fix it. No. He had to fix it himself. They gave him Tre'Davious White. Like, he had to, as a first-year coordinator, bench one of the highest-paid guys on his team and bench one of the few things they brought in outside the organization in the offseason, right? I'm not talking about bringing Van Noy back, one of their few offseason guys. He had to realign his entire defense on the fly. He had to get Kyle Hamilton to sort of adjust to a very different role from one that just made him someone we thought was on the cusp of defensive player of the year in the old system. Like, and they're finishing doing some of the things that these past Ravens defenses did despite such a horrible start. I'm really excited to see about where he continues to take this defense.
Well, think about it. If this Ravens defense is able to carry over this momentum and they're able to go on a postseason run and still play at a high level, if he can put together a full season next year out of this unit, he's going to get interviews. For a head coaching gig in 2026.
It's an amazing arc from where this thing started. And we thought he's over his head.
And he's talking about them having his back, which was huge, because let's face it, there's a lot of backbiting and a lot of infighting that goes on in this league. Pittsburgh's dealing with it right now.
Yeah.
And there wasn't any of that here. Now, there was guys acting the fool and doing stupid stuff and refusing to play, or I don't like my role, or why is he playing and I'm not playing. But they did a pretty good job of keeping it in-house. Those guys didn't go public. Marlon, like, guys got called out, but it was in a professional way, and it wasn't naming names. And I think that's a testament to Zach Orr as well.
For him being as young as he is, 32 years old, he's the second youngest coordinator in the NFL, where Mike McDonald, a really young guy in and of itself, he was much older than Zach Orr. He at least had the opportunity to be a defensive coordinator at Michigan the year prior, where this is Orr's first gig.
Yeah, and they did a really, Jason said, they got rid of one guy, Eddie Jackson, who it's now come out, like, chastised Zach Orr in front of the players at one point, and they said, you're gone. And the other one, they've benched and made him a healthy scratch, Marcus Williams. And he'll be, as we documented earlier in the week, they've made an adjustment to his contract. He'll be cut in the offseason.
Well, look, and I'm sure it had to be hard for Zach Orr, a former linebacker himself, to look at a Trenton Simpson and say, bro, it's been 10 weeks and it's been long enough and it's just not happening. You're going to have to go on special teams and prove it there. Those are not easy conversations, and it was very different from the magic carpet ride that they were seemingly on for a season and a half from the moment they traded Roquan Smith until the moment they left the field, knowing we just whipped Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes' ass for 3.5 quarters, and we're still going home.
Let's hear more from Zach Orr. Talks about if it builds confidence to see the defense playing great at the right time.
I think it boosts the confidence a lot, but it all goes into the preparation. And I think that, like we said, coming from the bye week after we lost to Philly, the players, man, they came in locked in, ready to roll, and they took their preparation to the next level. And I think we just got to continue that, and that's what will continue the success that we've been having. So, I'm confident in it because I know how our guys are preparing. We've had great weeks of practice, great meetings so far this week, and we got to continue with these next couple of days leading into Saturday.
I want to focus on the preparation for a minute. It takes me back, and again, I've been watching of Hard Knocks in real time, so it's fresh in my head. And the one I'm watching at the moment was the last Steelers game, Jason. And they had like one of their defensive analysts talking to the team, and he's talking about Russell Wilson, and he says, this guy is all three-pointers and layups. They don't do anything in the range. He's all three-pointers and layups, and I'm sure they're echoing that same they've echoed that same message this week.
Yeah, but I mean, they also knew that going in to both games. I mean, the layups to Warren were there all day long.
Yes, they were.
And the Skronerick dude out of the slot was, anytime he seemed to throw it to him, he was all right. And, if he wants to throw it a bunch of times to Freiermuth for 7 and 8 yards, they can have some of that. But I do think if this defense is not what we hoped it would be or what we thought it had become, if that doesn't manifest itself in the playoffs, I think you need only look between the – I think we'll be able to look at that film and say, well, it was just like we saw in Arrowhead. It's a ton of underneath crossers and intermediate passes between the numbers that turn into big gains. They are balls that lead to humongous yak and momentum-changing plays that should be high traffic areas where they're harder to complete.
And Jason, you pointed out immediately following that last game against the Steelers where, yes, the Ravens defense made game-winning plays with the forced fumble and the pick six, but Russ was getting his over the middle.
12
of the field.
His first 12. 12 for 12 over the middle. Then they broke something up, and then he ended up the game 16 of 18. One was the deep shot down the middle that Hamilton broke up that was kind of a hope and prayer. So, yeah, they're going to have to be better than that.
Ben, let's go with cut 47. We've been talking a lot this week about the Steelers need to play some Justin Fields in this game. Zach Orr was asked if he expects to see both quarterbacks.
I'm definitely expecting it just because, I think they got two starting quarterbacks, two starting caliber quarterbacks on their squad. They won games with both of them. And, Justin Fields is a weapon. So you got to be prepared for it. You see it in the first game, even though he didn't start against us, he came in and made some critical plays that ultimately in our eyes cost us the game. So we have to be prepared to see both of them, not even just Justin as a runner, but him as a thrower as well, because he is a quarterback. So, we prepare for both, and the game plan really doesn't change much from either one. We got to do what we got to do, play sound, disciplined football, and we like our chances.
He threw a lot of coach speak in there and gave them their flowers, whether they deserve them or not, but he did acknowledge they're expecting to see both quarterbacks.
If the Pittsburgh Steelers haven't seen enough of their failing offense without Justin Fields to think they need Justin Fields, then we're not watching the set. Like, they're watching something different than I'm seeing, or they're convincing themselves of things that aren't there. I thought Justin Fields would have played a role in the first game played here. He obviously did have a little bit of role in the game in Pittsburgh. When Pittsburgh came here, I think if Justin Fields was healthy, I think Justin Fields would have had 5, 7, maybe more plays to affect that football game. And he was hurt for a number of weeks, and then they got away from some things. But it's desperation time, and he gives them a different energy and a different jolt. And if it was me, I would want to see what he and Warren can do. Not so much him and Harris. What he and Warren could do with the mesh point against this defense. Because I don't think they're going to be able to run the ball in the Ravens in a traditional fashion. And I don't think Harris is going to be a whole lot of anything in this game. Especially not Harris and Russ. But some different pistol looks with Fields would be what I would be leaning into.
At the bare minimum, Jason, why are they not leaning into him in the red zone? I mean, that's a red zone weapon with Fields.
I think Fields is going to see the ball a whole lot more than our buddy Jerry Dulac thinks he's going to see the ball, or maybe some people in Vegas think he's going
to
see the ball.
Curious to hear what Brooke Pryor says at five.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, it seems like we expect Justin Fields, but people we talk to don't expect Justin Fields. I don't know. But we want to hear from the people coming up next. 410-583-1057. Your predictions for tomorrow. Your concerns about the playoff game Ravens and Steelers tomorrow evening. What do the people think? 410-583-1057. We hear from you next here on The Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
We're live at the Maryland Club where in about 15 minutes we'll be joined by Maryland forward Julian Reese, but we're talking to the people now. 410-583-1057. Your thoughts on this football game tomorrow. Also, the Orioles, while you were sleeping, signed a relief pitcher, Andrew Kittredge, who had a really good year last year and has been a really good pitcher. Another one-year deal, but I think we'd all agree it's a nice signing. You got to credit where credit's due
I don't have any issues with it. He's a good pitcher. He's pitched in this division. He's one of those interesting arms that the Rays seem to maximize on a few years back. I mean, look, last year, St. Louis Cardinals, there was no real high leverage. I mean, those guys were cooked by Memorial Day. And he's become a little slider reliant, which I guess the O's are cool with. It's not Tanner Scott. Let's be real. Let's keep it real. It's not like they went and got the best arm possible. But yeah, this is about their wheel wheelhouse, $10 to $15 million, maybe $10 to $17 million on a 1 year deal. That's how they roll.
410-583-1057
with options.
Tyler could be more than a year.
Yeah, yeah. No, this one too.
He's got a team option. Yes, and a $1 million buyout.
Yeah.
Let's get things started. About way Ben with Sean. Sean wants to talk Ravens. Sean, you're on the Fan.
Hey, how's it going, guys? The Ravens are, as an organization, victims of their own success. Every year, it seems like someone, the NFL, comes in and pillages our staff. I think it was, wasn't it 2015, Flacco had that wonderful year? Or was it 14?
14.
Kubiak was here 1 year. Kubiak, that's right. And then what does Elway do? He comes in and just pillages our guys. Last year, everyone was nuts.
To be fair, Kubiak was his guy. He was his guy first.
That's true, originally, but come on. The way that the trajectory of Joe's game had picked up immensely that year.
I think there's a little mythology there, but he had a nice year.
If you go, I mean, all the way back to Marvin Lewis, like anytime we do good, people just take all of our coaching staff. I really hope Todd Monken will appreciate the value of continuity and coaching before someone comes and takes him off.
I appreciate the call, and I know you're looking at it from a Ravens perspective, but didn't the Eagles lose both their coordinators a couple years ago? Like, this is what happens in football when a team's successful. Like, San Francisco's good, Saleh gets a job. Like, teams that are good lose their coordinators.
Certainly beats the alternative where you're firing.
Yes,
it does. Look, if you're Todd Monken, I mean, and you have always wanted to be an NFL head coach, and somebody gives you that opportunity, and they quadruple your salary, and they sell you on a whole plan on how you're going to take Trevor Lawrence to the next level, and you're going to live on a golf course, and
work for Trent Baalke.
Get to be by Pete Prisco.
I don't know about that part of it. There you go. Get to be by Prisco.
Yeah.
But I don't think we can begrudge anybody upward mobility. I mean, that's capitalism, for better or worse. That's the country we're living in. Yes, they have been pillaged. They've done a very good job of accruing talent. I will say, I'm glad Andy Reid's finally dealing with it a little bit.
Yeah.
Because it's like people have pretended that Spags, like,
blows my mind.
I mean, they're going to hold the 1 year and say whatever, two years or one and a half years in St. Louis against him
forever.
Can't
get another job ever.
Like, my God, at least somebody's like, maybe we should talk to this guy. It blows my mind that Dave Tobe, their special teams coach, he used to get a little bit of action, but like the fact that Andy Reid, they're talking to Nagy? No, that Spags is the guy you want.
Yes. Let's go to Joe in Woodbury. Joe, you're on the Fan.
Joe. Hey, fellas, how y'all doing today, man?
Hey there.
Hey, Jason, do you see any value of running a pro set with Hill and Mitchell? Then, before the snap, Mitchell goes out wide. Because then, I'm saying, you need somebody to at least act like he's about to take the top off of it. He's fast enough to run deep. You better pay attention to him. That way, he may be able to unlock the underneath passes along with running. That's all I call to say. Y'all have a blessed day, y'all.
Hey, thanks, man.
I do think there's a time and place for a pony package. I don't know how much they trust Keaton Mitchell right now in terms of anything pass protection related, and you want to seem to attack them downfield out of that look, which I would understand. I don't know that you need to go there in this game. But could there be a time and place for that if you're trailing in Buffalo or something like that? I still think it would probably be Derrick Henry and Justice Hill. Like, when Justice Hill comes back, I don't know that Keaton Mitchell, unless they have settled him as a return guy, which it sounds like that audition is ongoing, I'm not even sure that he's up. I mean, it might – certainly he and Ali definitely both aren't up.
No. You're not having four running guys.
It's which one of those guys they prefer in the kick return. Because neither one's punt returning. It's which one of those guys is their kick returner.
And Keaton had a nice kick return against the Browns.
I would lean on him.
Yeah.
But – yeah.
We mentioned the Orioles signed Andrew Kittredge overnight. Seth in Baltimore wants to talk about it. Seth, you're on the Fan.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Hey there.
Hey.
Hey, thanks so much for taking my call, man. First off, I think Lamar gets the monkey off his back this year. I think the Ravens make it to the Super Bowl. I feel like he's grown as an athlete. I think all the guys on the team are up for the challenge. But I wanted to see if I could actually have a serious, like just a two or three exchange with you guys about the Orioles, because I vehemently disagree with how you guys are stating the team and the product and the moves that they're making. I'm actually, for one, I am definitely like captain positive for sure. You know, like I understand that you guys have to call it both ways. I get that, but I mean, I think that a lot of things are going to go really well for our team this year, and I'm glad that we didn't go out into the free agent market and overpay for a name, or you know, frivolously spend somebody else's money because it seems easy for us. When I think our team has a plan on how they value our assets, I think the biggest question mark is Kerstad. So I'd ask you, Jason, now that we've got Kittredge, Bautista, Sir Anthony, I think we have one of the better bullpens in the American League, if not the best. I think that what happens if Mayo and Holiday have just standard professional pro seasons, Gunner, Adley rebound, and Grayson becomes a true number one. You don't
think
that's
a lot of ifs, though.
That's a lot of ifs.
Is it, though, really?
It is.
It is.
I mean, hey, if it all happens, good. That's great, and they're going to be a juggernaut. But it's a lot to ask.
So that's one. And then two, if you want to keep Gunner and you know he's a Scott Boras guy, you want to talk about keeping Adley long-term, Jackson is going to come up in 4 or 5 years. Those are big, high-dollar contracts. Same with Grayson, potentially, if he does become a legitimate number one. Why would you advocate for them throwing $150 million away on guys that will be 37?
Who have I advocated for who's got $150 million outside of maybe Blake Snell? And you would have had him for 5 years. This is what I would rather, if you're asking me, instead of paying 10 for Kittredge and 15 for this Japanese guy who's never pitched here before and 15 for 41-year-old Charlie Morton, I'd rather you take that money and put it into two starters, Manaea and Eovaldi, and now you've got real protection. They're only 3-year commitments. That's not going to preclude you from extending anybody. I'm going to let you know a little something. They ain't ever getting any Boras client to sign here before he goes to the market. It's not happening because they don't do it. They don't do it anywhere.
Yeah.
So you're still paying the full freight. So I would rather buy 180 innings out of each of those guys for the same amount that you're cobbling together all these 1-year deals. And if it works out, they're leaving. And if it doesn't work out, you're going to pay them $1 million to go away because you don't want to keep them here for the option number anyway.
All right, now that I hear you, Jason, on paper for sure, but I don't think we ever had a real chance to get Manaea out of New York. I think everybody kind of knows that.
He stayed for 3 years. Yeah. What do you mean he stayed for 3 years?
He was
He's the one
for,
guy yeah. who didn't get more than Spotrac said he was going to get. Like,
yeah, he was waiting for an offer that didn't come.
So you think it would have been smart for the Orioles to give Manaea 4 years?
No.
It's 3 years, 70-some million dollars.
He got 375. Give him 385. He comes here.
I don't think so, guys. And two, I think that...
That's great. We have a difference of opinions. And I don't think that everything that you think... I don't think that Grayson Rodriguez is going to be an ace and Jackson Holliday is going to be a stud and Heston Kerstad is going to be a stud and Kobe Mayo is going to be a stud.
I didn't say that.
You said they'd be like quality major leaguers, like have a good major league season. Yeah. Look, I hope you're right.
Yeah.
I hope you're right. I would say my instincts about this general manager and this team were incredibly on point before the pipeline even started, throughout the development of the pipeline, and when it got Fugazi, find anybody in America who was calling him out before me. That person doesn't exist. A lot of people in the baseball media have reached back to me and said, damn, you were right, but it doesn't look like anything's going to change. And it looks like he is a one-trick pony. And if he's a one-trick pony, we're not winning in October around here.
Hey, buddy, we got to run. We got to pay bills, but we appreciate the call, and we gave you a little back and forth. Thanks so much. Hey, coming up next, we got to get to Julian Reese. Julian Reese, Terps play UCLA tonight, 8 o'clock. You can hear that game on the Fan. Forward Julian Reese joins us next. Inside Access here on a Friday, and tonight, huge basketball game at the Xfinity Center, Maryland hosting 22-ranked UCLA, and joining us right now, senior forward on the Terps, Julian Reese. And Juju, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate your time. So as you get ready for this game tonight, let's start with an overview question. The season so far, how do you feel about how the season's gone so far, and where do you feel like you guys can improve?
You know, I feel like we've been solid this season on our non-conference schedule. We've taken care of business at home so far, minus the one L. But, you know, I feel like we came along as a team, but we've yet to really have our statement win. I feel like tonight our statement win should come and, like, just put the country on notice with that. And, you know, doing things like that is will take care of us in March and things like that. And I feel like that's where good teams grow.
Julian, you guys underwent a ton of change year over year in terms of the roster and bringing in a fellow big man, Derek Queen. How have defenses played you differently, if at all, this year with Derek Queen in the fold?
Yeah, definitely less double teams this year. We're thinking about double teaming lately because we got so many more weapons out there. Other than Queen, you know, we got Rodney, Selton, Miguel, Jacoby Gillespie shooting the ball the way they are. And that just opens up the floor for us. And, you know, we got another a skillful big, and, you know, Derek Queen, as we all know. And that just opens up the offense for us, really.
What has it been like for you, Juju, having another big in there with you a lot and sort of the interplay between you and Derek and learning to play off each other? How has that process been like going all the way back probably, I guess, to, like, summer practices?
No, it's been pretty easy, molding well. You know, we played a lot in the summer together, mm-hmm. and just it was kind of easy with such a skillful big as itself. He knows how to play on the perimeter as well, and that just makes it more easier for the whole team.
We're talking with Julian Reese. It's Inside Access here on The Fan. Juju, you're a senior. You've been here the whole time. Like, do you feel like you've matured as a player and a person? Do you feel like you're now a leader on this basketball team?
Yeah, definitely. Especially with the, you know, coaching changes throughout my time here, just kind of forced me to grow up a little bit and just become a man by myself on and off the court and just adjust and understand it's just a business. And I feel like that's kind of helped me. And, you know, with Coach Willer coming in, kind of implying and instilling that type of energy into me was great. And I feel like it changed me a whole lot since freshman year.
One area of your game in which you've grown this year, Julian, is at the free throw line. You're up over 11% year over year. What adjustments have you made to get those gains?
You know, just reps, really. You know, and I feel like it was a mental side to that as well, just watching film and just sticking to the same routine and not changing up after I miss and just sticking to that, and I feel like it was good after that.
Obviously, this was a tricky road trip. A lot of travel, a long time on the road. We had Jimmy Patsos on with us Monday, and he was pretty adamant that despite the results not going the way you guys would have loved, that he felt like the practices, the environment, some of the things you guys did off court brought you together. Were there positives to take from that long Pacific Northwest swing other than obviously the final scores?
Yeah, definitely, especially off the court. You know, guys staying with each other for such a long time, learning each other. You know, it's probably the longest we've been with each other this whole season. So, you know, just kind of forced us to, like, kind of grow together and learn each other, especially through adversity. And I feel like that helped us as well.
Julian, what has it been as a player with this conference expansion? I mean, Maryland had never played Washington or Oregon in the past, and you guys just did that in one road trip.
Yeah, it's definitely different. You know, them two conferences known for their physical play. Guys are bigger in those conferences, and it's definitely been an adjustment for us. And we just kind of, you know, just got to adjust to it, and I feel like we'll be ready.
Hey, Juju, one of the things that I felt was interesting about this team and watching it since the start of the season is how quickly it seems like chemistry has come together. And we've talked a lot on this show about how different the roster is from last year to this year. Do you feel like chemistry happened pretty quick here with these guys, even though you have so many new faces?
Yeah, definitely, especially with a lot of guys being able to put the ball in the hole and score it at such a high clip. I feel like it's easy to put trust in each other when, you know, we can trust that our guys will be able to score, and it kind of makes it easier to pass to everybody.
Well, we just talked about you guys going out west. Now you've got a UCLA team coming to you, and I don't know, we've talked on the show. We think it's a pretty important game. No one wants to talk about must win or anything like that in January. But how big of an opportunity is this for you guys to kind of swing the pendulum a little bit in the other direction in terms of some conference wins and make these teams pay when they've got to go 3,000 miles, 4,000 miles the other way?
Yeah, you know, it's definitely important that we take care of home court in this conference. You know, it's a crazy conference, especially with the away games. You know, it's home court advantage is crazy in this conference. You know, you got the Purdue, the Indiana, the Rutgers and playing in gyms like that. That's why it's so important to take care of business at home. You know, just making sure we take care of business at home, I feel like we'll be all right. And getting back to 500, mm-hmm. it will be important for us.
Focusing in on UCLA, they've allowed the fewest points per game in the Big Ten. What makes them so difficult to score on?
You know, them being so physical, following their scout as well as they do, and then, you know, along with them being so much physical players, you know, big guys, and just being aggressive on defense, that's kind of their mentality that they've been coaching, and that's kind of our mentality too, so it's definitely going to be a dogfight tonight.
Hey, Juju, I'm curious. A few years ago, you're in high school, and obviously people in the basketball world that kind of knew who you were, but now, flash forward a few years later, your mom's incredibly visible at games. Obviously, your sister has become pretty famous for her basketball play. What's it like at the Reese family now, since everybody seems to know you guys?
No, it's still the same, just, you know, different in public, I guess, the kind of people recognizing us, you know, everywhere we go and things like that. It's the same, really, because we stayed the same. We didn't really switch on nothing we did. But, you know, it's just kind of cool seeing the effect we kind of have on people, and especially the kids for me. And I like to see, like to make little kids then just, like, you know, give an autograph, a picture or whatever, just to put a smile on their face.
We were really sort of captured early on by Selton Miguel. At least I was. Like, I didn't really know too much about him, and the way he seemed to fit in right away. And if he needs to be physical, he's physical. If you need him to hit a three, he hits a three. Like, it just seems like he has a way of getting in where he fits in. Did you know much about him before he got here, and what are your impressions of him?
Yeah, I didn't really know much about him before he got here, but, you know, he just, the impact he gave us as soon as he stepped on campus was great, and just the energy he brought, ready to do whatever the coach asked him, was great, especially coming from an older guy. You know, older guys typically come in with a chip on their shoulder, thinking they could, like, you know, just take over and have all the answers or whatever, but I feel like he's been a great sponge and with the new coach, and just being a great teammate to everybody else, and I feel like he's great for us.
Juju, speaking of older guy, have you seen his birth certificate? Because we are curious.
Are we sure he's not 33, 34? He looks like he's lived.
Yeah, eligibility's eligibility, so he's cool. But, like, have you seen the birth certificate? Do we know how old he really is?
No, I think he like 22. I'm not sure.
Just double checking.
Julian, another guy though, Jameer Young, and we know what he meant to this program the past couple of years. But having a Jacoby Gillespie come in, someone else that can kind of create their own shot, how big has he been for you guys this year?
He's definitely been big for us. You know, just being able to shoot the ball as well as attacking. Facilitate how he's been, and just him learning the physicality of the league has been great, and I feel like he's adjusting well to the team, and he's a great point guard.
Maryland hosts 22-ranked UCLA tonight at 8 o'clock. Pre-game coverage begins on 105.7 The Fan at 7. Julian Reese, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it. You've been great, and go get that W tonight.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up next, we get back to the Ravens, Lamar Jackson. What are our expectations for him tomorrow? We're going to tell you next here on The Fan.
Yeah, I just be too excited. That's all, you know, too antsy. Like, I'm seeing things before it happened. Like, oh, I got to calm myself down. But just being more experienced, I've found a way to balance it out.
It's Lamar Jackson talking about playoffs past, and which, quite frankly, he has not played great football. Before we get into the conversation about what we expect from him tomorrow, congratulations to Lamar Jackson. He's first-team All-Pro. Got 30 first-place votes compared to Josh Allen's 18.
Yeah.
Why we bring this up, and obviously first-team All-Pro is a big deal, but the same people vote for that vote for MVP.
Mm-hmm.
So what we've seen is all the poly markets, they flip now. Josh Allen was a heavy favorite entering today. Now Lamar Jackson's the heavy favorite.
I tried to tell you.
The narratives don't
win. My sports writing brethren are not as dumb as the betting markets were taking them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and look, big week for Lamar, right? He recently turned 28. He's got another division title. He's first team All-Pro. He's probably about to become an MV3, including back-to-back MVPs, which is a real rarity.
Yeah.
And now he's got to back it up in the playoffs, and I think he will. And I think
too.
It will start tomorrow, and I think it'll start early in this game, and I do think he will play free and easy and unencumbered from his ghost of playoff failures past. I think Todd Monken has a better handle on this situation now than he does a year ago. I don't love the Zay Flowers absence, but I also think, you know, that maybe that even leans them a little bit more into keep it simple, stupid mode. And there's a lot of ways they could use high percentage plays, passing and running, to outclass this opponent. And hopefully Zay Flowers would be back for a game at Buffalo, and it'd be great to see them fully healthy in such an instance. But Lamar just needs to be Lamar. He doesn't need to try to be the best version of Lamar that's ever lived. He doesn't need to try to make a highlight play on every play.
Don't try to be Pat Mahomes.
He doesn't need to. If his instinct is, I'm just going to run this one for 8 yards or whatever, do it. Not everything has to be turned into a huge momentum swing. And I hope he's able to do that. And I think he will be able to do that. And even a B-minus B Lamar game, they probably cover this thing easily and maybe even get some people off their feet.
Is it weird that when you said free, easy, and unencumbered, I thought of the bone?
That is definitely weird.
Like, that describes you to a T.
It really does.
Yeah.
At least this new year, new me.
Yes,
look,
yeah.
I proved Jason wrong yesterday at the holiday party.
It was impressive not giving away his
oh,
holiday
yeah,
present.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yes.
Immediately.
Yeah.
They smelled chum in the water. Yeah. They came for it.
He apparently said to Ben he was going to put a segment in today's show because he was going to crush me. Because
I thought you were
going to
give
it away.
I thought you were going to make a terrible trade.
Yeah.
Your
I was unaware of how much pressure there was on him.
I was close. I was very close to giving in.
See,
I was very
even that's
close.
A little too telling.
I keep it a buck. I keep it 100 on this show.
Yeah.
I mean,
stop lying and talk about Lamar.
Yeah, you did keep your thermal hat, so
yes.
That was good.
New year, new.
Well, look, with Lamar though, this guy has accomplished pretty much everything you can accomplish at the NFL level, except the postseason success, except hoisting a Lombardi trophy. And that's all he talked about from the moment he was drafted and he's on the stage with Deion Sanders saying, you're going to get a Super Bowl out of me. And I always hate the narrative saying, oh, he's bad in big games. He has played extremely well in a ton of big games, but you can't escape the postseason narrative because the numbers are night and day. 57% completion percentage. The passer rating's really bad. I just wonder, Jason, is this a situation where if you're Todd Monken in your game script to start the game, get him a couple layups. Like, get a couple layups. Go 2 for 2. Go 3 for 3 to sort of exhale there.
Yeah, I think, sure, absolutely. And I also think having just handled the Pittsburgh defense without having had an expert game. And the fact that was just 2 weeks ago and it was at home, I feel a lot better about this situation because of that. That became a relatively easy win where, in part because Russ threw a pick six right after Lamar had a miscommunication with Bateman and threw an interception that wasn't on him. But that became a relatively easy win on a day where Lamar wasn't perfect. He didn't come out shot out of a cannon, and his legs did not become a big part of what they needed to win that game. And the way that the Steelers defended the Ravens tells me they're not going to make that mistake again, and I think they will sell out to try to handle Derrick Henry,
yes.
Which means Lamar might be able to run for far more than he did in that last game, and not trying to run up the middle like Derrick Henry was, but being able to get outside a lot and do a lot of damage running down the sidelines. I think that'll be a big element here. But again, they won handily. A lot was at stake for both teams, and they won without Lamar looking like a first ballot MVP. He just looked like a very good and expert winning quarterback. That's what they need. If he gets to a higher level than that, great. But the playoffs are tough, man. The playoffs are humbling. How long did it take Peyton Manning to break through?
Yeah.
How long did it take Troy Aikman? I mean, there's a lot of guys like John Elway. How long? It takes a minute. And maybe this is his moment.
Ravens and Steelers, 8 o'clock tomorrow, about 24 hours from right now. The Baltimore Game Day Uncensored pregame, Baltimore Game Day Uncensored pregame show starts at 5 o'clock live from the Horseshoe Casino. Myself and Bob Haney, hour one. The Bone, Vinny Serrato, Mike Preston, hours 2 and 3. And coming up next, we'll get the Steelers' perspective of this game tomorrow. How much Justin Fields are we going to see? We're going to ask Brooke Pryor, who covers the Steelers for ESPN, next here on The Fan.